been hearing the British government has just published the text of a deal with the Democratic Unionist Party, which is expected to pave the way for the resumption of power sharing at Stormont. The document is entitled Safeguarding the Union, and according to the executive summary, which has just been handed to me, the package of measures set out in the paper are specifically designed to strengthen the Union, reassert and strengthen Northern Ireland's place in the United Kingdom, future-proof the constitutional status of Northern Ireland against any future agreements that create new EU law alignment for Northern Ireland, guarantee the smooth flow of Great Britain goods to Northern Ireland in trade terms, guarantee unfettered access for Northern Ireland goods to the rest of the UK, ensure the primacy of UK internal market rules in key areas. There'll be clear statutory protections, it says, and that there'll be no diminution in Northern Ireland's place in the Union without consent. It will, they say, be an agreement which strengthens the operation of the Stormont break. The document further says that there'll be new statutory protections for Northern Ireland's constitutional position and its unfettered access to the UK's internal market. And I quote directly, it says here, there will be no checks when goods move within the UK internal market system, save those conducted by UK authorities as part of a risk-based or intelligence-led approach to tackle criminality, abuse of the scheme, smuggling and disease risks. The deal, they say, scraps the requirements of the old protocol for both internal customs paperwork and supplementary declarations. There is more besides. This is an 80-page document. We'll be looking into it over the next little while. But first, let's go to Westminster, where a short time ago, the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, told the House of Commons that restored power sharing in Northern Ireland offers the prospect of a brighter future.
Mr. Speaker, following constructive dialogue over past months, I welcome the significant steps the DUP have taken to make restoration of the executive possible. I also thank the other political parties in Northern Ireland for the patience that they have shown. After 2 years without an executive, there is now the prospect of power sharing back up and running, strengthening our union, giving people the local accountable government that they need, and offering a brighter future for Northern Ireland.
In Belfast, Sinn Féin's First Minister-designate Michelle O'Neill said she expected the Stormont Assembly to meet on Saturday.
So I think there's a fair degree of understanding now that it will be a Saturday sitting. I hope that that's the case. I think we should be there today. I wish we were there today or tomorrow. But if it's to be Saturday, then let's get it done on Saturday. Let's get the institutions up. Let's get the executive functioning. Let's get Assembly members back in that chamber. And let's deal with the issues that are weighing heavily on people's minds in terms of public services, public sector pay, childcare. I mean, there's a list as long as my arm in terms of the things that we need to tackle.
Sinn Féin's Michelle O'Neill. Well, let's talk now to Peter Cardwell, who is presenter and chief political commentator with Talk TV. Peter, thank you very much for taking our call this lunchtime. When we lined you up a little bit earlier, we weren't expecting to have the document in our hands. We do have it in our hands, but only just in the last few minutes. From your first look at what it contains, what do you make of this deal?
Well, I'm on page 34. I'll not say I've read every single word of this so far, Brian, but certainly what is the most interesting thing and the most essential thing, I think, for Geoffrey Donaldson as he tries to sell this, not just to his own party, but also to the wider unionist community, is about checks. Now, there will be some checks. There won't be zero checks, as Geoffrey Donaldson has said, but they will be minimised to a huge degree. You read out the line there about eliminating physical checks when goods move within the UK internal market system. But with agri-foods, there will continue to be some checks. So I think that's going to be a very big issue in the next few days. The government, it says, about halfway through this document, the UK government will take direct powers at Westminster to direct Northern Ireland bodies to protect the UK internal market. Now, there is quite a lot of detail here, but nonetheless, I think there is a phrase you'll be familiar with, Brian, from when you covered the Belfast Agreement, when it said, when people talked about creative ambiguity. I think we can already see little bits of creative ambiguity coming out of this, because it does look as if there will be some checks, just not very many checks. Mm-hmm. And also this idea of identity checks on things coming through perhaps the Port of Larne or the Port of Belfast, rather than actually stopping trucks and stopping cars and looking through, you know, huge quantities of goods.
Can I ask you about another of the measures here contained in this, according to the executive summary, and that is the intention to strengthen the operation of the Stormont break. Now, I know that's something there's been quite a bit of focus there on at Westminster, because this has implications, at least among Brexiteers, there's a concern that this could have implications for Britain's freedom of movement post-Brexit to diverge from EU rules.
Yes, indeed. I think there's a lot to worry about this. This mechanism giving the Northern Ireland Assembly the power to object to changes to EU rules that apply to Northern Ireland. Now, I think we can read a lot into this document, the fact that it's called Strengthening the Union. I've been talking to people in Number 10 and across politics who've been involved with this. They emphasise over and over again that the DUP have been led by the hand the whole way. They've been taken inside the process, as has the EU, as has the government where you are in Dublin, and the fact that things like the operation of the Stormont Brake want to be at a minimum, but nonetheless there will apparently be some divergence from EU law, and that has big effects from for Northern Ireland, but what that will be on a case-by-case basis as time goes forward.
So there are two jobs of work here. There's the task that Geoffrey Donaldson faces in persuading his own party and unionism to back this deal, and then there's Chris Heaton-Harris, and he's speaking in the Commons at the moment, and we'll hear some of that a little later in the programme. He has to persuade Tory backbenchers that this deal is consistent with the British government's ambitions in relation to Brexit.
Yes, that's right. I think the ERG, the European Research Group, and others who have been very sceptical about Brexit will take their lead from the DUP. But the DUP parliamentary party, its MPs, are not all of one voice. We haven't really heard anything from Sammy Wilson and Ian Paisley Jr., who will be the two people who are most sceptical about this. But certainly those conversations are taking place in Westminster behind the scenes. The leading lights of the ERG, people like Marc Francois and others, are being briefed about this, not just by Chris Heaton-Harris publicly in the House at the moment, but there are other conversations going on, and they will take their lead from the DUP. If the DUP are happy with this, it will go ahead in the parliamentary party. What's interesting as well, I think, is that there may not even be a vote. We'll know from parliamentary bill managers and others whether this will simply go through as a sort of on the nod, as they say, within the British Parliament without a formal vote. We'll see the legislation tomorrow, and there will be further discussion and certainly examination of that legislation, because to enact everything that's in this 80-page document that we've just seen literally within the last 20 minutes or so, that will take quite a lot of legislation and changes to legislation that exists at the moment. So it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out in the next few days, and whether there will be, for Geoffrey Donaldson, someone coming above the parapet, making a big statement against this. That would be very, very difficult for him. But so far, it seems to be going all right.
All right. Well, we'll be returning to this in the course of the programme. At the moment, Peter Cardwell in London, thank you very much for that.